Welcome to Life Lab with David Ponder and Zach Schaefer. We are the podcast of Experience Experiments.
We give you those experiments via change challenges at the end of each episode.
We created this podcast because we wanted to talk about important topics that can help us all live meaningful lives.
You might agree with what we have to say, or you might disagree. But the point there is that you get something new to think about.
There's no edits and no gimmicks. Our entire point is to help you take action and live a better life.
You only get one life to live, so you may as well make the most of it. Hello, welcome to Life Lab. Today we're going to talk about something that that's central to life, especially when we talk about the old deathbed test, the old looking back on life, reflecting on life.
The old coffin question.
And, you know, oftentimes it centers around organized, structured things. And I think for more and more people in America, and we'll talk about that, it's a little bit less structured. But I think we'll explore the ins and outs today of a very complex topic. And we're talking about spirituality.
Nice. I liked that intro. Tying in structure, I took some more thorough notes today, this morning, than I normally do, so I'm excited for that. But your intro just jarred something else loose, and that with the structure, obviously with religion, I'm sure that'll get brought up. Philosophically, people like structure. We crave structure. Why? Because that gives us a sense of certainty and helps us leads us in a specific direction towards a purpose. Now, do we know what that purpose is? No, but it makes us feel good, and it's the right thing to do. There's structure. So religion, at least in America, is sort of the norm. It's a structure. There's different structures. Here's the rules. Here's the playbooks, if you will. But spirituality is embracing the uncertainty. There's a lack of structure.
I like that.
And that's intimidating to people because it's a very personal experience.
Yeah. I'll say spirituality without religion.
Right.
Yeah. Because I think spirituality is all encompassing.
Correct.
And there's a circle in spirituality that is religion.
Right.
And then there's a part of spirituality that is outside of that religious circle. And it's interesting. I think as of late, and the numbers back this up, that in the U.S., the percentage of people who identify themselves as affiliated to a particular religion, Christianity being the major one, has fallen over the past few decades. But still, religion is the default. 70.6% of adults in the U.S., according to the Pew Research Institute,
wow,
identify as Christian. Yeah. Hmm. Other like including Jewish and Muslim, it was fairly small. It was
wow!
Like,
so when the fundamentalists be like, "This is a Christian nation," I mean, they're not wrong. I'll say that.
They
Jeez.
Are right. 70.6%
self-identified, and that was a Pew study. So
in
obviously,
2019.
It was, yeah, they had good confidence rates and all that. Wow!
So okay. That is the default. I'll say that, but it doesn't encompass everything, right? We're talking about the broader. We're not talking about religion here. Religion is a part of what we're talking about. We are talking about spirituality. I think I've heard recently, as it's become more of an answer, more of a response, people who are like, yeah, I am a spiritual person, right? But I do not identify with a particular religion. So then they say, I'm spiritual but not religious. I've heard that start to get made fun of. And it's like people who are like, oh, pick a side. What are you? You got to define yourself, you know. And I think especially when it comes to spirituality, if you don't identify with a religion, then it becomes hard to identify you know with something.
But
it
I think,
hard
but I think
to
that,
have that as your identity.
I also think that is the core of spirituality, is trying not to identify with a self, which is a societal construct tied to beliefs and norms, accepted beliefs and norms and values. And it's really trying to shed all of that to truly connect to the higher power, whatever that higher power is.
That's an awesome understanding. I think that's pretty advanced.
Yeah. And I'm not acting like it's mine. Anybody's spiritual journey is you pick up remnants from all over the place. There's a bit of stoicism in there. There's a bit of Buddhism in there. Ryan Holiday's book, The Obstacle is the Way, by literally being made fun of or challenged that, oh, that's a weak answer. That is the spiritual journey. Like that,
right.
That's part of saying, you know what, that if it's coming from a religious person, then you know that you're making the correct decision by not embracing that.
You know, can I do a definition?
You can do as many as you want, Dave.
The Oxford definition, which I thought was decent, said the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things. I was like, how would I define it? Just me. I like the search for meaning.
Yeah. Man's search for meaning is, I mean, that's the journey of spirituality. Like for what he was able to do, Viktor Frankl, and maintain sanity and even spiritual progress, it seems like, while he was a member of a concentration camp, there is no more spiritual journey than that. So yeah, the search for meaning, I think you've really hit it on the head. That's way better than what I wrote down. And you know, I like kind of plain spoken stuff, so that identifies with me. I simply wrote the connection to something bigger in the universe and trying to become in union with it.
I like that. I do like that. I think that's a big part.
But I like that better. The search for meaning.
Yeah. You know what? It's funny though, because your definition, when people ask me, and, you know, for context for people who haven't listened to our show or know us very well, we both grew up in a, you know, in Catholics.
Traditional Midwest Catholic family. Nothing over the top. Catholic school, grade school.
We were the default.
Yeah, yeah.
We hit the default button. But now that we've become older, we've both decided, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, I don't speak for Zach, both decided that didn't fulfill us. That didn't hit the core of what we were looking for. We did not find our search for meaning. Our search for meaning went elsewhere.
There were too many unanswered questions and shifts away from things I thought that were important that the structure of the church did, does, or didn't do that I had a problem with. So yep. Plenty of fantastic things still go on there. Obviously, Catholic Charities being one of them. It's the largest charitable organization in the world. But some of the religious stuff that ties more into the spirituality side. Actually, let me back up. I disagree. I think religious folks would argue that the dogmatic parts of their ceremonies are the spiritual parts. Right? That'd be easy when you're talking about God or Jesus and the transubstantiation and all of that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually find for me, and I believe spirituality is a very personal experience, it's the boots on the ground part that's the spiritual part. So all the charitable stuff, the feeding of the hungry, the clothing of the poor, the Beatitudes, that to me is where the spirituality is connecting with the other humans and sharing love and stories.
I agree.
And anyway, I was digressing.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's much more meaning in it. If we're going back to the meaning definition, right? You've got rituals and you carry those out, but the actual meaningful thing, what is fulfilling about any of that? The fulfilling part is in the doing.
For us. Other folks, though, love the pomp and circumstance and formality. Why? Because they feel powerful, full of power from it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel full of power or powerful when I'm helping another human being and I can look them in the eye.
Mm.
I feel empowered there. And to me, that's spirituality. Somebody else wants to put on a robe, shake a can of incense around, and they feel powerful mm-hmm. and good when speaking to a group.
I think, you know, to be fair, I think the book, right, the text, the religious text, asks for both, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty clear.
Well, not asks. It demands both if you're going to be part of that group.
Exactly. It demands the worshiping God very clearly.
But there is no spirituality playbook.
There is no spirituality playbook. No, there's – I mean, that's the thing that – when you're talking about spirituality, here's what I think is interesting, right? it's for me, at least, the journey past, the journey beyond traditional religion, it's been hard. It's hard. It's harder. It was harder. It's easy. It was easier just to be assigned the default.
Well, what are the rules? Let me memorize the rules, and those are the rules.
Well, and it's just like, this is what, when we grew up in our community, that was the community we grew up in. We went to Catholic grade schools. Our peers all were in the same, you know, religious mindset. We were taught it at our school. We went to church on the weekends. You know, we, you and I read, you know, we would lecture. We would read at Mass on Sunday, you know, and we were involved in various ways. We were both servers, right? I know I was for a period of time. And so it was easy, right? There was no search. It was given to us.
Well, there was also no choice.
And there was no choice. Yeah, that's true. That's true. And I think that probably, for me, that was one of the things that once I became an adult, or once I started becoming an adult, and I've got a more personal story about my falling away from organized religion, but it had to do with that. It had to do with reexamining the choices I made or didn't make, and the things that I could accept or couldn't accept. And it's really interesting. It's like, if I think about the way with, to me, spirituality is so important that I think someone needs to come to their conclusions about spirituality themselves. It is a journey that I believe individuals need to undergo and come to their own conclusions.
It's a journey with no destination.
Yeah,
that's,
and you never
stop. That's the uncertainty. Yeah. It's an unfinished recipe that will never be finished.
And so I think the entire idea that there was this prepackaged dogma.
Do these 10 things, you get to the next level.
Exactly. Was antithetical to my understanding of the world. It doesn't work. Like with everything that we talk about here in Life Lab, it's about a journey of learning and exploration and curiosity and finding truth and meaning for yourself and all these different areas that we talk about. So why would, you know, spirituality and religion be any different? Why would there ever be anything in life, any area, especially one so important as your soul and what happens beyond this life, that it's best to just be packaged and given to you and not explored on your own? And that was really problematic for me.
Yeah, I guess if an atheist hears this, you know, then they'll be like, well, I'm not a spiritual person because I don't believe in spirits, is usually what they'll say, or the soul. And, you know, scientifically speaking, no one has any clue what a soul is, or, you know, consciousness or things like that. And we've already talked about what we think some of those things might be. And for me, though, that's cool. It's just like, great. Like, some people get their spirituality in religion, in science, in philosophy, in fitness, in nature, in love. To me, you can, as Dave said, the rings of spirituality, think of it like a Venn diagram. If spirituality at its core is the search for meaning, and I'd say positive meaning, you know, like Hitler wouldn't say, I'm sure he'd try to make that argument. So, because you can distort everything. But if it's the search for positive meaning, and a connection to a higher power and your union with that higher power, you can do it in all different, lots of different realms. You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Agree 100%. I have nothing else to change.
But then I go
that,
to where people would try to start rationalizing, be like, well, I find spirituality in my work. Really? Okay. When you're overstressed, overscheduled, all that modern anxiety we put on ourselves that we're chasing the wrong goals. Well, I can add that second layer on my house and then happiness will come with my family. Like that kind of shit. And it's just, because we're reasonable, rational animals, that is such a curse because we can find a reason and rationalize anything we want.
You know, and I think it's funny you say that because
I'm a funny guy.
I think that based on my experience, and as I grow older, I hope this changes, but work can suck the spirituality out of anything.
Work's a fucking vacuum for spirituality, usually.
I even think about like a Joel Osteen character, right?
Great smile.
Yeah, these mega church evangelists. that's their work, right? And so I think about how that's when they go to the office, they're just prepping for Sunday, looking at the, you know, donations that were given. Are we up? Are we down?
It's a grind, right? Yeah. In their speeches and
meetings all day, trying to figure out what the, you know, what they're doing over the next quarter and what the numbers look like. And, you know, and I can just see, man, that just would, to me, it would just suck all the meaning out of it. It would suck the spirituality out of it. What is spiritual about reviewing your quarterly profit numbers and trying to see if you can expand your congregation because blah, blah, you know? And I'm sure if you talk to them, they'll say, oh, yeah, but that's part of the way that gives them. That's the foundation.
That enhances being on the stage and connecting with the folks. They'd say, well, that's the sacrifice I have to make.
And I would just, you know, one of the things is like, well, okay. The other thing I'll say to go against myself and something I said earlier about not being able to explore within a religion, right? Being handed a prepackaged dogma and religious text and, well, this is the truth. Here, read all this and accept all this, right? Well, that's not fair to certain types and people. Like the Jesuits in Catholicism, I would say I've got immense respect for them because they are constantly exploring, questioning, researching, learning. They're like, to me, at least in my experience.
They're philosopher priests.
They're philosopher priests, exactly. And they are the academics of it, of the religion, and there is exploration and learning there, right? It's just in a framework, right? Yeah. Which, you know, I think still stands true as being confined to that framework.
I think the spirituality, I think of, you know, a lot of people pray, meditate. I mean, when you're doing those things, you're just trying to empty the mind and fill the heart. That's it. So why I think prayer can be useful, whether it's religious prayer or spiritual prayer, I have a couple different thoughts. One, most people don't think. They don't have time to think. They don't have time to read and then think about what they read and make connections across disciplines and domains. And that's where big discoveries and insights come from. But if people pray, I kind of view that is them doing some thinking and some reflection and some pausing. And, you know, and if they feel that's connecting to that higher power, then to me that's spiritual. Now, if that prayer is all about enhancing the self, I need this, give me this, bring this into my life, then I don't, that's not the kind of prayer I'm talking about here. Prayer I'm talking about is more about subtraction than addition. It's help me find the way. Help me, connect me to the way.
Right.
Connect me to what I need to see, you know? And I think spirituality deals much more with subtraction than addition. Mm. Subtracting the things from life that are not important, that pull us away from the path. And the path is all around us.
That stuff I talked about.
We just don't see it.
Yeah, that was in that definition. Concerned with the spirit and soul as opposed to material or physical.
Material, yes. So and obviously that stuff's fine. I'm not against it. I like nice things. But nice things pull us away from the things that matter. And what matters, when you die, your beliefs, I personally believe, my beliefs when I die don't mean shit. It's what I did with those beliefs. I could believe all kinds of things that people might not know about when I die, but they see the actions I took and behaviors I took. And that's how I think about spirituality, is like how he did life, how he related to others. That was spiritual. That was legit. He shared, and I'm not saying I did that all the time, but he shared, he tried to love. Who knows what I believe? I have some crazy ass beliefs, but if I don't act on them, well, how strongly did I believe them?
See, that's great. That's one of the problems I had with the religion that we were given. The religion, at least what we were taught, was it? No, it's about what you believe, right? And you can do terrible things as long as you seek forgiveness in the end, and then you're absolved of those because, you know, Jesus died for it, and so it's all about belief. That's what it is about, right? Mm-hmm. And yeah, I know. No, like you can't do that. You have to.
You could do you can basically with that model do a whole life of terrible shit and then just absolve yourself at the end. And I don't agree with that.
Yeah. And I mean, this is going to, I need to stop because it's turning into a religion. We don't need bashing, it to be
anti-religion. That's not the point of this
thing. But what I'll say is, it is about finding, it's about finding meaning, man. And what you're saying makes sense to me, which is finding meaning in prayer, right? Is about, and when you said it's, hey, help me do whatever, help me, whatever. And you're talking about your behavior. So you're sort of talking to yourself, but then again, you're realizing that yourself is a limitation, is a limited thing.
And something and that, I've built.
Yeah. And that you need help. You need something greater. You need a higher power. You need a connection to something without outside of yourself. And that's all – to me, when I say higher power, that's all I mean. I don't understand. I mean, it is that which I don't understand. It is that what is greater than me. It is a connection with others. It is what I would call God, right?
Right. At a big level. Make it real concrete. Central, your business. It's a higher power than you. You have 14 other people working with you.
That's interesting.
It accomplishes way more than you can, Dave.
That's interesting.
That's a higher power. So if you're the smartest guy in the room, which you never come off that way, like, oh, I'm so smart. I don't care how smart you are. That group can do more than you. It is literally a higher power than individual Dave, you know?
And, oh, that's
and
interesting.
And so people can start real concrete with – If there's a human that they don't believe there's a higher power defined, however they want to define it, they're a fucking idiot.
Right, right. Yeah, no, that's
And I just want to identify those folks so that I can make sure to steer away from those fools.
Yeah, but I think you hit on some important things, right? Which are asking for help, understanding that you aren't enough.
Surrender.
Yeah, surrendering, seeking something greater, right? Focusing on your behavior. You're not asking for help in winning the lottery, hopefully.
You know, plenty of people do, and that's not spirituality. Yeah. That's not religion.
Just like you said, that's not your definition of spirituality, nor is it mine. It's more in like, help me be a better person. Help me achieve something. Help me, you know, do this hard thing that's better for the world. For everyone
else. Light up the path. Show me the path. Where's the path? And again, that's why spirituality is hard. There is no playbook. There is no map. You're building the map as you go. Whereas if you want certainty, join a religion. Like, it's there. There's different varietals. And I'm not saying it's not meaningful. Of course it is. That's why it's been here for so long. But if you get into that and it doesn't fit because you disagree and there's no answers to those questions, there is another path. Just know that you carve it out. Like, my spirituality, I have a lot of notes, of course, and documents on my computer. And man, like, when I die, if my kids start going through it, like, spirituality looks hard because I could be reading something about my career and pull out a spiritual tidbit, and I could be reading a book about stoicism and pull some out. You've got to put it together yourself. And to me, that's the spiritual experience. I've never had the burning bush moment that people that have created religions have. And here's a quick digression. People that have created religions, not Jesus, but other folks like Martin Luther, people like that, they have a burning bush moment where it's just like, oh my goodness. Obviously they do, because they build an entire structure around it. But what is the goal of the structure that they initially build? To recreate that same feeling they had in those around them, because it was a powerful feeling. And then what occurs is, over the years, other folks add on to that structure, and it becomes something distorted, unfortunately. But most people just have what's called the educational variety, or the incremental version of spirituality, where it's just little things that you do. And that they can be spiritual experiences if you take notice. But we don't notice because we're distracted.
Yeah, that's so important. And you can achieve those spiritual experiences. I would hope everyone has had spiritual experiences where they recognize it. It can happen in seemingly, you know, benign, ordinary, run-of-the-mill thing. You know, like, shoot, the feeling when, like, you're laying down with, you know, in the dark listening to music, and you just feel harmony with the universe.
Yep.
To me, that
100%
spiritual experience, you know, You hear about these grand ones that people have that you may or may not ever get to experience in your life, like near-death experiences or psychotropic experiences with substances or anything like that, you know, visions or whatever, you know, dreams in between dream states. Who knows what that's all about?
Well, and that's human nature, the storytelling animal. Those are interesting stories, captivating. There's a chronology. There's conflict. There's transformation.
Right. And for many, that is their burn. Those are their burning 100%.
Yeah, I'm not downplaying that those things occur. For most folks, that doesn't occur. And so they're like, well, I don't know if I've had a spiritual transformation. Sure you have. But you got to look back and reflect and think about it. And you'll be like, oh, my goodness, there were several I've had throughout my life. And then if you really get reflexive about cultivating a spiritual practice, you'll feel them in the moment a little bit.
See, I like that. I like that idea of cultivating a spiritual practice, which is something I recognize that I need to do.
Well, it takes discipline.
It does. You know, when you talk about prayer, what is prayer? It's meditation. Mm-hmm. It is. It's just a form of it, right? Meditation is such a wide, broad topic right. and term. It can be done in many ways, you know, and I believe prayer is one form of it. And, you know, it's interesting, too, that as I became an adult, as I decided that I wanted to seek my spirituality outside of religious frameworks. That's one that's like I keep coming back to. Like, and when I was younger, it was hard for me to accept. You know what I mean? Because I didn't want to use that word. I didn't want other people to assume that they knew what I thought or believed based on the words I was using. So I wanted to tell people, oh, I'll pray for you. But then on the other hand, I didn't want to say it because I didn't want them to have all the connotation that comes with it, right? I'm not going to pray to the Christian God and expect that something, you know, is carried out by a supernatural being. And I didn't want to have to explain all that. So I was reluctant to use the word prayer. As I've gotten older, I don't care. I'll say it. I'll pray for you. You know what I mean? Same thing with the word God, right? There's so much baggage that comes with it, and especially in the United States, where 70.6% of people are Christian. So whenever you say God, by default, everyone thinks of the Christian God and the Christian stories and narratives
that come
with
it. Definitely where we're at, yeah.
Where, especially in the Midwest here. Yeah. And so I'm reluctant to use that word, even though I am not atheist, right? I do believe in God, my own meaning. So it's interesting to me how spirituality is such a wide and varying thing that to me it's like, you know, I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard the Eskimos have like many different words for the words for snow. Mm-hmm. We just have snow. Mm-hmm. But they are immersed in it all the time, and so they have to describe all the nuances.
They have a deeper lexicon for it.
And I believe we need that. I would like to have that. I'd like to have a deeper lexicon for God and prayer and all the spiritual really related
to me things. Spirituality, talking through this, it's really about being open to connection and cohesiveness rather than division. Everything is both trying to identify and divide at the same time. So when you put any label on anything, you are immediately identifying with certain things and dividing certain things. And spirituality cuts that in half and says, no.
Man.
It's just a connection. It's just – and again, the love. I love Inception – or is it Inception? The space? No, that's not the – Interstellar, where the scientists come to the realization after they're all about the science of, you know, trying to save the species, and they're like – the woman in the movie was finally like, I was wrong. I think love is the only thing cutting through the universe, connecting us to these other beings. I think love is what's the invisible connection. And that is spirituality.
I agree 100%. I think you hit the nail on the head. So I don't think we're going to get any better on this episode, but let's.
We're only going to get fucking worse.
To me, that's it. That is the core. I always talk about it as connection, right? When it's like, what is God? I always say God is us, but it's also more than us. But it's our connection to one another. You know, I remember learning about what religion is it? Taoism, I believe in this universal all that you were a part of. You come to this life, you die, you rejoin with it, you know? And it's like, I don't know if I believe in that exactly, but I do believe in the connection between us, just like you said. To me, spirituality is the antithesis of individuality.
Mm-hmm.
To me, spirit, and therefore the antithesis of atheism, right? This idea that we are just on an island as individuals living out this life and then fade to black.
And there's no meaning, yeah.
And no meaning, yeah.
But what the interesting That's part random. About spirituality, it's very what the philosophers would call dialectical. It's tension, it's push and pull. So, yes, while it is about the connection, and not about individualism, yet in our society, in order to be spiritual, you have to have courage and be an individual. So, and that's the essence of spirituality. It's very almost self-contradictory, at least in our modern society.
It is. It's fleeting too. For me, the spiritual experiences that I have are the ones that I want to hold on to. I want to bottle them up. I want to be able to re-experience them on demand, well, and I can't.
And people want to sell them.
Everybody.
Sell that. Right? Yeah. If you can bottle that love and sell it, here's a framework to become more spiritual. Enhance your spirituality 8%. Do these five things every day.
Yeah.
But that's modern society and that's where we're at and it's how it works. Yeah. But the obstacle is the way. Patience is the key. Doing less now and delaying immediate gratification for needs, wants, and materiality will benefit in the long run. Like that's spirituality and that's hard. If it was easy, it wouldn't be spirituality, in my opinion.
100%. The word transcendence comes to mind. Mm-hmm. When I have spiritual experiences, the way I can envision it is, and I often do, it's like we're living on a flat piece of paper, but every once in a while I'll have a spiritual experience where I go into the third dimension and I'm looking down upon that flat piece of paper from above and I realize the triviality of all the things that I've been worried about and scared about and all the, you know, how meaningless the fights and the disagreements that people have. And I feel this sense of, you know, wonder and connection. And God, it's like I wish I could have that on demand.
I'll tell you, I have a spiritual experience that happens, I don't know, a couple times a year, maybe two, maybe three, not a ton. When I have deja vu, to me, that's a spiritual experience is how I view that now. And when and it's not a lot anymore. It seems like it used to happen more when I was younger. Maybe I'm romanticized to that. I'm not sure. But to me, that's a unique thing. So when I have that happening, I drop everything and I really try to follow the trail. I try to just go down the rabbit hole. Okay, did this really happen to me before in some other universe or whatever? Like I try to cultivate that experience and flame it, and it's fun. And like, because I'll drop anything I'm doing when I have that moment. To me, deja vu is absolutely, for me, a spiritual experience. It's interesting.
I agree. It's a
weird,
it's a mystical experience.
It's a phenomenon.
It's unexplainable.
Yep. Phenomenon, that's what that is.
Maybe there's something Maybe there's something about that. You know, as I was writing these things, right, we talked about what are the spiritual experiences people have. And I thought, you know, near-death experiences, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Psychotropic experiences, which is when a substance alters your mental state. There is one that's really interesting. It's called the Karen helmet, after the scientist who created it. But they call it the God helmet. Basically puts electromagnetic waves in your brain and makes you feel like there's another presence with you. And the way that people have described it in the studies that it's been used in is they often describe it as God or an angel or a devil. You know, it's probably just innate within us to naturally describe presence that way. And I was like, I heard about this thing like years ago. As we were researching this episode, I went a little bit down that rabbit hole. Like, why isn't there more on that? And of course, the guy who created it is like, look, I've tried to get other psychologists and doctors and scientists to go down this path, and all of them are reluctant because of fear of losing their grants. Like, apparently, nobody wants to know about that sort of thing.
That's interesting. Wow, business. some entrepreneur out there would want to commercialize maybe that. Like, how is. Has that not
maybe
become
there
commercialized?
Is. Maybe there is. I just literally for five or so no, minutes no before worries. This, like, re-explored
That's why
it.
People do drugs. Now, they're not going to – many people aren't going to start there. I'm getting high, smoking this blunt to be have a spiritual experience. No, you're doing it to alter your perception of reality, which – thousands of years ago, that was why they were doing it, is to have that transcendent experience, to get out of this physical material reality. Now it's just, oh, slam some beers and go do something. Like,
I like the clearly controversial things, like the idea that the burning bush actually was related to the acacia bush, which is a psychedelic plant, you know, that is red and is in a bush form, you know. And that's the experience that Moses was having, you know, when he met God there up on the hillside. Now that's I don't know, that's interesting to me. It's blasphemous to others, but, you know, these experiences where you seem to transcend your the mundane, the everyday, your current experience. And it doesn't require substances. It can happen with prayer, with meditation. It can happen with deja vu. It can happen listening to music, right? But those are like
sex,
the special moments, those special moments where life is not the same. And I think that's the thing that we're looking for evidence. Well, at least for me. When we're talking about spirituality, I'm looking for evidence for that which is beyond the everyday life, that which is beyond what my experience is de facto 99.9% of the time.
What disrupts spirituality?
I mean, we talked about work and obligation and, you know, negative emotions. When I talk about or think about spirituality, or, you know, the search for that which is more, it's not without fear. It's not devoid of fear, right? So I want to call that out. Everything that I've been talking about up to this point, when I'm talking about spirituality and spiritual experiences, has been positive. It's been about good feelings. It's been about, you know, but that's not, to me, that's not all of spirituality. There is a part of spirituality that is fear when you're doing any kind of exploration, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Fear of the unknown. Fear of the unexperienced to this point, right?
But with spirituality, for me, embracing the unknown
embracing
is part
it.
Of it.
Yeah, no,
but there's some fear there for sure. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing with that. But to me, if the spiritual approach would be to admit, I don't know. We don't know what happens tomorrow. Right. We sure as shit act like we know it all. We make forecasts for everything. How we run our whole lives is as if we're omnipotent and omniscient. And it's a funny farce, and we all believe in it. And it's just not true. I think – so you nailed some things that disrupt spirituality. For me, the biggest one is power seeking. And that is the human game. And we do it without even thinking about it. Power, for me, is the feeling. Control is the mechanism. Power is the feeling. Control is the mechanism. We are constantly, not even consciously doing it, but just always trying to expand our power. That's a great – we want to feel powerful. We want to be empowered.
It's funny because if you think about religion, right, when religion talks about Satan and evil and demons and all that stuff, all that it is to me, it's a metaphor for what you're talking about, power, right? Because if I think about the story, that's exactly what happened, right? Like, Satan wanted more power and had to be cast out of heaven for it. You know, there's always evil in seeking power or more, right? Like, one of them that I've always had a hard time with was Adam and Eve and the apple, right? Like, seeking knowledge is what got them cast out of the Garden of Eden, which to me is like, I don't know, man. Knowledge to me is pretty important. But I see what you're saying about power. Well, material goods,
well, just the hyper-focus, the micro-focus, not tacking back and forth between the micro and the macro. Like, we just concern ourselves with these human makings that are of our own. Musk, we're both Elon Musk fans, is what he's doing and the focus he puts on everything, which is insane to the point of breakdowns. Is that spiritual?
I don't – how often does he switch to the macro? Because I think his mission is somewhat spiritual. Okay. His mission is to, in my opinion, to advance the human civilization beyond Earth.
Okay.
Like, and so to me, that is, wow. Like, if he's really thinking of it as, he's not thinking of people as individuals. He's thinking of us as the human animal, as the, you know, greater organism that needs
But that, to me, is the non-spiritual part.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, well, we aren't the end-all, be-all, but...
No, we're not.
You could, but we're the not. Way you just described it is as if we are.
That's true. That's true.
Well, then Trump could be spiritual. We need to protect America. It's the greatest country ever created. I'm just, you know, playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, but like, maybe.
We need to make America great again. Protect it. The world's only better if America protects and creates an opportunity for more Musks to be born. You know, so like... There's arguments.
I think you're doing a good job, I think, of illustrating that juxtaposition between what you talked about with spirituality as uniting versus dividing.
Right. So my main point with that is, can you have a position of power? President of the United States. I don't care if it's Trump, Biden, Obama, Bush. Doesn't matter. Can you be spiritual in that kind of role with that kind of power?
Pope. Can you?
Yeah, but Pope in control of nukes. I mean, somebody who can eliminate our species. That is very few people on planet Earth have that power. Those men that I just mentioned have that power. Can you be spiritual in that position? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't.
Some of them sure want to act like they are. Others don't seem to care about that. That's a tough one.
Yeah, one of the better things that I've liked about the priesthood, Catholic priesthood, is the vow of poverty. Right. Now, the whole not being able to take a family thing, I don't know about that. But the vow of poverty to me, not being able to own property, all that stuff, to me that's been like, wow, that's meaningful, right? It's denouncing.
It's a sacrifice.
Yeah, it is. It's a sacrifice for something greater than yourself.
And sacrifice, the root word is sacred. They believe in something sacred. Jesus was impoverished, spent time with impoverished people. I will follow that path. And then what's the flip side? The push and the pull. Yet when you're in church, it's nothing but pomp and circumstance and the robes and just
the huge cathedrals,
the music, the halls, the
frankincense
space,
being burned, the
stimulation for the smells and sounds and sights. And yet, you know, overall, they have a vow of poverty, live in probably a single room or maybe a little bigger, most priests, I guess. That's the Catholic Church. That's not all churches.
That's not all, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I to me, when you say what is – because we're going right back to your question. What is anti-spirituality? And to me, that materialism – if our definition is the quality of being concerned with the human spirit or soul as opposed to material
meaning.
Or physical things, to me, the physical things are what pull you away from spirituality.
But this is where I love it. Again, I love playing devil's advocate, being contrarian. I'm buying this vacation property because I want to create the memories and develop the meanings with those around me. You know, like that's how I'll rationalize something.
Oh, yeah.
I'm buying the new car or the golf cart or what, or the hot tub because I want to create the memories and the stories. Well, is there some truth in there? Sure. But there's also bullshit in there.
Well, it's about, you know what it to me reminds me of? Living in the moment, right? Wherever we are, right? Okay, let's get religious with this. What's the Bible say? It says, wherever, two or more gather in my name, I am there, right? I think that's about two things. Number one, connection. Two or more gather, right? It's about connection. It's about – and two, it's about the moment. Wherever. You don't need to be on a mountaintop. You don't need to set up some special circumstances.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a vacation home to connect with your family. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go to Colorado and be sitting in a hot tub with your kids to have a meaningful experience and conversation with them. And yet we get ourselves worried about setting up those circumstances because that'll be the optimal experience in which to have what – No, it's about the now.
Look, this is perfect. So I just spoke to one of our oldest friends. I don't want to say the name because it involves kind of disparaging his brother. We were having a conversation yesterday about, you know, what we do with our families to make memories and meaningful experiences. And he's like, you know, camping. I take my kids camping all the time, and it's a blast. Like it's cheap. We have a little land, but it's fun. We get out, we connect in nature, hunt, fish, all that kind of stuff. And his brother is just like, you're an idiot. Why do you do that? That's just a dumb thing to do. And our friend's just like, would you change how you grew up? And the brother's like, well, what do you mean? He's like, we camped all the time growing up with dad. And those were some of our only good memories with them as kids. Would you change that? And he's just like, well, no, that's not what I'm saying. He's like, no, it is what you're saying. You don't need to take fancy vacations and do all this. He's like, and then what turns out is his brother's son, every time our buddy goes camping, his brother's son's like, can I please go with you? And then the brother's like, not if you have baseball, because I guess the kid's a really good baseball player and travels. And the kid's like, I'll skip any tournament to go camping. And we just don't see it because we want the, oh, we took them to the resort or we took them to this experience and it's a better story and it looks good on Facebook or whatever. All the kids want to do is go get out in the mud and do something with the parents around.
That
period.
That is anti-spiritual, mm-hmm. right? Like, think about it. You're concerned with the future, some imaginary baseball career or scholarship that's going to happen.
Yeah, and that's how I guess they're justifying
and it. And it pulls you away from connection, right? You are not he is not connecting with his child. If anything, he's driving a division between him and his child.
And that'll come out later in life.
Yeah, and all the child wants to do, all the kid wants to do is connect with people.
Right.
And have a spiritual experience in nature with yep. others.
Nature to me – so once I quit boozing – I get spirituality where I really can feel it in the moment in nature. So I've inserted hiking, and we have great hiking in Missouri, into my, I don't want to say monthly, but every other month I'm out doing a hike. I leave the phone in the car. I won't bring it because that will detract from the spirituality. And it's just out, and I don't have anything specific I do or think about. I just let the thoughts come in. If they stay, they stay. If they float out, they float out. But I definitely don't get caught up in the grind of work up there. It's just whatever's meant to be in my head while I'm up there, that's what my higher power and God's putting in my head. And I freaking love it. And I just feel so bad for folks in big cities, especially with the pandemic going on, and if they're forced to be in lockdown still, like they are being so cut off from what is truly magnificent in this universe. It makes me want to cry.
Yeah. No, that's,
I mean,
that's interesting.
It's
yeah.
horrible.
Yeah. No, 100%.
And even if the pandemic's not going on, a lot of folks don't get out and experience nature, and they just live behind walls and screens all the time. And I don't agree with that. I think it's bad for your health, mental health, physical health, spiritual health.
I agree. I'll say though, I think people can find spirituality in whatever their environment is.
No. I agree. Yes, I agree with that 100%.
But nature
is powerful.
Something
about nature,
though. Nature is powerful.
We're part of nature. We want to act like we're not. That's why we do everything to be like we're beyond nature. We've control you, nature.
Right. Well, no. Clearly. No, and nature is very powerful. It's awesome. It is awesome just getting out into nature, especially by yourself, and just having that experience and connection.
You start thinking you're a big man, go stand in front of a 50-foot waterfall.
Yeah, just
as you say, Joe Rogan, go walk out into the woods and build me a cell phone. Come back out when you build the cell phone. Let's see how big you are, how smart you are, guy.
Exactly.
You know, like,
yeah, if I drop you off in the woods, how long till you send me an email?
Well, another thing, though, spirituality is also not competition. It's not what podcast. Oh, listen to this spiritual podcast. That's bullshit. It's not what the books you're reading to become spiritual. And we can't help ourselves as humans. That's the power seeking. And most of it's not conscious because we're not reflective about why we're doing that. But it's about feeling more powerful, putting ourselves above others. Oh, I read this spiritual book and they haven't yet. I'm ahead in my spiritual journey.
Well, you said something earlier that hit the, when I said we hit the nail on the head, we're not getting any closer. And it was love. And to me, real love is unconditional. It has nothing to do with what you've read lately. It has nothing to do with what your political belief is or religious belief is. If you're talking about true spiritual connection and love, then it's for the sake of love. It has nothing to do with any of those things. And yeah, so this is a long answer to your what is unspiritual. Well, exactly that. Like dividing into groups, saying, oh, this person agrees with these principles and therefore they're on my team and therefore we are, you know, the better whatever. That's anti-spiritual, you know. It's connection with others regardless, you know, regardless of any situation or circumstance. I would think, you know, think about it this way. It's like if you're a first responder, like an EMT or something like that, right? Just imagine moments where you connect with someone you've never met before. You don't know anything about them. You're doing the works just like you talked about, right? You're out there doing the works. You save somebody's life, right? I can only imagine having spiritual moments in the course of doing that and connecting with others. And it's got to be a strange thing because you may never meet that person again. You may never know them again or whatever. But think about the weird connection you could have with someone in an instant.
Yeah, there's, I mean, something I don't struggle with, but there's a nugget in my head. So not first responder, but, you know, part of my service I do, volunteer work, is answering suicide hotlines. So at surface level, that could be like, oh man, that's just so selfless and this and that. Is it? Is it really? Because I sure as shit get a whole lot out of it, man. And like, talk about an empowering feeling and trying to help folks. So is that spiritual? Well, to me, it goes back to the intentionality behind the act. Am I doing it solely for self-seeking reasons to enhance my power and sense of self to help others, both? So if you're thinking about, well, like I do this thing over here and it could be viewed really spiritually, potentially, you have to have the honest conversation with yourself. Why are you doing it? Yeah, and no one can answer that for you. You have to be able to answer that for yourself. So for me, spirituality is about giving yourself a different thinking framework that leads to different feelings. It forces your perspectives to shift. You see things that you used to not see. Like when you go to buy a house, you start seeing houses for sale everywhere. If you start to try to develop a spiritual practice, that song you're listening to in the moment is going to speak to you differently than it would have the day before.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right. It's about – there's a part of openness to spirituality, seeking to spirituality. What about – so this is, that's interesting, right? Is it – if you're trying to get something out of – like – with yoga or with prayer or with whatever, you know, you're trying to get something out of it. You are trying to connect for yourself.
Right.
Does that make it wrong?
No. I just think it's an interesting kind of philosophical thing. Is there is self there. Like, I don't believe there's pure selfless service, because when you're doing it, you tend to feel good.
Absolutely.
Mother Teresa wouldn't have lived with the poor over there for so long if she didn't feel pretty damn good about doing it too.
Well, I remember being young, coming out of church and feeling good, right?
Right.
Because we had just checked the box. We just made God happy.
Right.
And,
And it was good to be done with the ceremony.
Yeah, it was over.
Todd Lanterman was with us.
Yeah, exactly. It was over for the week, you know? But yeah, it's like, so you do end up getting something out of it, but I don't think that's bad.
I just love it, man. The question is, okay, you're doing quote unquote what will be socially are you virtue signaling, or are you doing it for the right reasons? Only you can answer that. And if it's for the right reasons, then that's probably a spiritual practice. If it's truly for virtual signaling, which you won't, no one admits that publicly, then, you know, that's not.
Yeah. What if it's for virtue signaling, but it turns into something that is meaningful to you, right? Like,
or vice versa.
Well, I mean, here's the thing: if your motivation is impure, but you end up having a pure experience, I would just say, just try to capture that pure experience and then reflect on your impure motivation about impressing others with your spirituality or whatever it was you were doing.
As soon as you are trying to use spirituality to impress, to enhance self, to gain power, materiality, social status, my view is that's probably not spirituality.
Okay. And so let me get back to let's make this personal. I want to make this personal to me again. In my spiritual journey, one of the clues that I was on the right path was that it was harder. In the beginning, I said my spiritual journey got harder when I started looking outside of organized religion for my spirituality, because I mean, A, there's no instruction set there. It's just an open world of possibility. But so that's A. But B, because the community that we live in and grow up in is confined to what we are now trying to step outside of. And so virtue signaling and being accepted by that group is now, we're now doing the opposite. And so to me, that was a clue. I'm probably doing the right thing.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Well, any other thoughts before we wrap up?
No, this is a topic that we could talk about forever. You know, I like what you talked about as far as the Venn diagram, and I like the definitions that we talked about, right?
Yeah.
So a search for meaning, concerned with things like connection and the spirit and soul, as
there's
opposed
something
to
bigger than us.
Yeah,
and whatever you label that, that's for you. That's between you and your higher power. Even if that higher power is just another human, science, a set of principles, whatever, there's a higher power than you out there. And until you accept that, you're going to be grinding away.
And it's a, and it's not just an, I don't think it's a one-time acceptance.
No, no, it's a series of acceptances.
Yeah, like you said, it's a journey that you are forever on.
It's, spirituality is the opposite of Maslow's hierarchy. There is no self-transcendence in perpetuity. There's moments of self-transcendence, and then the goddamn triangle starts all over again, and it's just a series of instead of turtles stacked up all the way down, it's Maslow's hierarchy stacked up all the way up.
Yeah, you're right.
Once you self-transcend here and you have a spiritual moment, then it's just the next challenge and phase of the journey.
There was a recent, I think it was a Stoic, Daily Stoic email that came out about Marcus Aurelius and his death. And we didn't talk a whole lot about death on this, and which is really interesting to me, because I think death is a huge part of spirituality. I think it's a huge motivator, right? It's the thing that drives both the curiosity of what happens after this life and the fear of what happens after this life. But this thing was talking about Marcus Aurelius being graceful in his death, just like basically show the grace to those around you that has been shown to you throughout your life, right? And so once he realized that he was going to die, I think he had the plague, and he had a very short period of time in which to do it. He basically called those that would be his successors and tried to, you know, get things in order and make things right, and do it with, you know, calmness and grace and just thinking about, Will I be able to do that? You know what I mean? I think if my life is well lived from a spiritual perspective, when that moment comes, I will be much more capable of accepting it with grace and not fear.
My plain spoken way of thinking about what you just talked about is get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
And to me, spirituality is all about living the beliefs that create love, connection to the higher power.
That's right. And which is exactly right. If you did, and that was in this text that I read, it was like, if you did live your life right, then you will have enabled yourself to die with
Grace and honor.
And contentment. Yeah.
Alignment with the universe. Alignment with the universe.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good spot to stop.
Me too.
Change, challenge. I mean, spirituality, because there is no playbook, I don't want to give, like, go do this thing. I mean, to me, the best thing you can do is to think about, are you spiritual or not? Is that even on your radar? If it is, how can you enhance it? If it's not, why not?
I'm going to pray.
There you go.
I'm going to pray, and I think I'll pray with the kids. Yep.
Nice. Great. All right. Thanks for listening. It's been a fun conversation and a very important one, and sometimes a very difficult one for folks to talk about. So hopefully you can take something away from this and enhance your spiritual journey, because it is a journey, not a destination. And as we say at Life Lab, experiment with life.